The reason is because, how will you start your own? What will you say to make it different? As soon as you enter there, the brethren in the land say, we are here. And you can only submit to the body of Christ there and contribute your ministry to what God is already doing. That's how it was in the New Testament. When you enter into a community, the church there, they want to check whether you are of the number or not. And then they decide to receive your ministry. That's how it was. But what brought them there is discipleship. I know I'm dealing with something that looks far-fetched within our present situation now. But I'm believing that this little contribution we are making onto understanding the biblical concept. What is the goal of God in saying make disciples of all nations, that they might be conformed to the image of his only begotten son, that he might become the first among how many people? Brethren. That's the plan. That's the plan. You see, what is making preachers different is because they are no more preaching Jesus. If I came to preach Jesus, Moses came to preach Jesus, Rufus came to preach Jesus, Joshua came to preach Jesus, James came to preach Jesus, Kule came to preach Jesus, Daniel came to preach Jesus, and they all contributed Jesus to our lives, do you know that we will no longer bother about who speaks to us? Huh? This terrible division in the body of Christ, this wickedness that has come upon us, that has produced people after a different image. You see, whether in the Old Testament or the New Testament, God's plan is image. So let us make man in our own what? Image. And so he began right from the beginning. Don't make any other image. Because it will be a problem. And I want to conclude there. He said, behold, I am with you. I want to tell you that this matter of making men to be like Jesus, we have a backing. We do what? We have a backing. The backing we have is not the backing of millionaires. It's not the backing of dollars. Is the backing of Jesus himself. This thing we are talking about, if you are changing to become like Jesus, we have a divine backing. Jesus is interested in this matter. We have a divine backing. Say, look, I am with you always to the close of the age. Hallelujah. Now, yes, I have some few more minutes. And I think you should have a look at few things quickly. Will you quickly follow me to Acts of Apostles and see what produced them? What made them? How was discipleship pursued? You see, what I'm dealing with is the first breath, the first goal, the enlarged understanding of discipleship. Some of you, listen. You might want to form a denomination of discipleship. You have missed it. Don't let me hear you saying, Radbile is a discipleship group. That's not what we're interested here. We're interested in another denomination called discipleship group. No. We are looking at what is the overall purpose of God, that men be conformed to the image of Jesus. It doesn't have to bear another man's label. What we need, are you hearing me, is when you go somewhere, you say, this man is talking, is acting, is living, is loving, he's serving, is humble as Jesus. When that is beginning to happen wherever you go, then we have succeeded. Are you hearing me? I know you are looking for a ministry to join. Don't join my ministry. Are you hearing me? We are not looking for ministry to join here. We want men who are saying, I want to commit myself to Jesus, his principles, his way of life, his pattern, his mindset, so that when people touch you, you are a teacher in a primary school, they say, but why is this man teaching as if he is Jesus? That's what we are looking for now. You are a nurse. Somebody said, look, there is a Jesus in this world. That's what we are talking about. I don't want to hear about you. And then the patient whom you ought to have showed care and concern to, you say, that's the only thing she does since yesterday. She says she's praying. She never gives me my drug. You are a disgrace to Jesus. He wouldn't do that. Afi Christi konyibe. But not so then Christ. Not so then Christ. The Lord Jesus said, if you have two coats and you meet a brother who has none, what should you do? And that's what we are talking about. A situation where there is one millionaire among 1,000 puppets. Afi Christi kowabe. This testimony, God is moving with me. How is God moving with you? And you never change that clothes and give me a brother who has nothing to wear. Some of you are sitting here, you have a different wardrobe for shoes. You like this. And you say you are a Christian. You are not a Christian. You are someone else. We did not so learn Christ. He said, knowing the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, even though he was rich. So listen to me. We are not talking about not being rich. Christ was rich, so you can be rich. Hallelujah. Amen. A Christian can be what? Rich. But the Bible said, even though he was rich, he made himself poor that we might become rich. That's the issue. How many people have you made rich? Is the measurement of richness. When you say, yes, I thank God, God has really given me wealth. That's not the issue. The issue is, how many have you made wealthy? If you are disciples, that's what it means. If you are learning Jesus, that's what he taught. Hallelujah. So when we're talking of discipleship now, we are talking about learning Jesus as God's authentic image that all of us should become. So to establish churches all over the place and call it your name and make it this, make it that, and then do flamboyant things and build big buildings and ride big cars and say, these are my people, these are my people, is to miss the purpose of the Great Commission. The Great Commission is to produce men like Jesus. Do you know what I'm telling you? If we are preaching Jesus, there should be no difference between Living Faith, Rhema Chapel, New Testament Mission, UMCA, Baptist. No. All we will just find is what? Jesus in all this. And so there will be no problem. You can meet any brother from Living Faith, the same life you are living. It don't matter much. You can fellowship anywhere because the same subject is taught. When the subject of our ministry is changed onto petty issues, we introduce denominationalism. Then we emphasize preachers and their preachings, and we don't talk of Jesus. Teaching them to observe all things that I've taught you. And I wish it was possible for us to sit back now and begin to study what has Jesus taught. It is revolutionizing. The more I studied, in fact, you know, the other day I was preaching somewhere in Poland and I stumbled again at John chapter 15. And when I heard Jesus say, I am the true vine. Hey! I say, God, as if I've never read this scripture. The people I was preaching to, they were enjoying themselves, but they didn't know that I was in a serious matter. Say, you are the true vine. Any other thing that is not Jesus is false. Oh, I broke down again. I was checking. Lord, is there any sap I have drunk and it is not from the true vine? Eject it from my system, dear Father. Is there anything that didn't come from the true vine? Oluwayano, purge me out of it. Because it is all those strange vines that you took that is reflecting a different character trait. And you've been in larger now. If you drink from Christ, the only result that should come out of your life will be what? Jesus. So you know what I did? I decided I better study this Jesus again. So I started again. I'm reading again the book of John. I'm tracing it gradually. I went back again and said, in the beginning was the Word. I said, Lord Jesus, no one precedes you. No one supersedes you. No one gains ascendancy over you. You are the Word that was there in the beginning. He said, and by him was nothing made that was made. That if there's anything that was made, he made it. Now, as I was looking, he said, and the Word, and he said, in him was life. I said, you see, as if I've not seen this Jesus before. It became new. I'm just studying. I think I'm in chapter 4 now. Trying to study again. And it's becoming new to me. Jesus knew every day. Say, in him was life. Oh, I found that life, if you want life, is only in one man. Genuine life. in Jesus. So I found, since I am telling you my experience now, I discovered that what Jesus embodies is life, is the life. Anything outside Jesus is death. You may look flamboyant, but you will die. So I began to say, Jesus, Jesus. In him was life, and the life was the light of all men, and the light shineth, and darkness cannot comprehend it. I say, oh God, I wish. And as I was going on, he said, of him, say, and we behold him as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, I pray that those of you that are agreeing that you want to be discipled, only one subject. What is that subject? Jesus. Jesus. Not money, not fame, not position, not even gifts. Jesus. For of his own fullness have we all received grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Jesus. And the other day, as I was looking at Jesus, he told Nicodemus, he said, no man has ascended to heaven. No man has ascended to heaven but him that came down from heaven. So I began to look at ascending to heaven, breaking loose from all the earthly barriers. Only Jesus. I tell you, all these brothers, they are awaiting results. Awaiting results. I will never commit my life to awaiting results. When I have the man with the authentic message, I'm not following any man. I follow Jesus. You know, I'm a very good learner. I learn from anybody. But, you know, I only learn from you if I see Jesus. No, but if you Jesus, my man, all right, come here. Your glory just break out of my eyes once I don't see you talking of Jesus. You come out and I say, hey, you see? You see this, my Agada? I say, at the region, yellow. But I said, if you knew the gift of God, I said, so Jesus, if there's any gift, to pursue, is this Jesus? When I possess Jesus, I want to inform you, he's the embodiment of all spiritual blessings. You are the one who thought there's something somewhere. I have come to discover that it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. I've discovered that. It's the gift of God. He's the one that when he gives you water, you don't keep going up and down. It becomes inside of you. What? A well of living water springing up to everlasting life. I want to address this issue. I want to plead with you in the name of Jesus. This is discipleship. So, just to show you a bit, and then you pray with me. Do you know? From Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I want you all to listen to this. For you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses to me. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, what do you become? Witnesses to him. Every anointing is to make you a more effective witness to Jesus. In Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the end of the earth. Hallelujah. So, verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of names was about 120. Huh? And he said, "Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled." They are beginning now. They are beginning their process now. They are now applying themselves to what? To scripture. It was scripture they applied themselves to. And they knew that someone else has to join us, a witness with us of his resurrection. Brethren, what were the apostles? What did they know themselves to be? Of what? Of Jesus, of his resurrection. The entire ministry of the apostles was to be witnesses of his resurrection. Go and check all they preached. That was what they preached. Some of us were imagining that if we don't change our topic and look for frivolous issues, people will not gather. Because you like crowd, don't like Jesus. But I want to inform you that, you know, when we preach Jesus, he will draw all men to himself. I have been experiencing that. I have been saying, "Oh God, we won't change. Let's see whether people will not come again." But they are coming. And we are not just coming to Ilorin, we are going all over the world. People, they are looking for Jesus. Hallelujah. When the white men hear of Jesus, they run for him. They rush. They say, "That's what we have been wanting." Thank God, Apostle, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. That was what they preached. Their discipleship was teaching men to observe whatsoever I have said, I have taught, I have commanded you. So you can see the first observance in chapter 1. When we go to chapter 2 and the Spirit of God came down and they received and all of this, if you look at the message that Brother Peter preached, whom did he preach? Are you sure? Huh? Read his message. It will amaze you that he had no other person to talk about than Jesus. He had no other story to tell. Every verse he quoted were pointing to Jesus. Hallelujah. Part 1, it says, "He foreseeing this spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption." So even when they read from the Old Testament, are you hearing me? They knew it was talking about Jesus. They use every passage to preach Jesus. Are you hearing me? They used every story to point to Jesus. Correct preaching must bring Jesus, because he said all scriptures, they testify of me. All scriptures, they are speaking about Jesus. And I tell you, it doesn't contradict prosperity, does it? It doesn't. It doesn't. I'm talking about Jesus who preached to people. Hallelujah. He preached to people. He healed their body. When they were about going, he said, I don't want them to go, they should eat. Eh? And he gave them food. They ate free of charge and they went home. Pastor, did you learn Jesus? When every time they came, you told them to bring their food from home, number one. Number two, you collected everything in their hand. Number three, you made your wife, the chief caterer, to serve food. So for every convention, you made millions out of the people, because your wife is also the one selling pure water. He's the one who arranged this. We know what we are doing now. Is that how we learn Jesus? He was rich. He could feed men. People went back rejoicing, eating. Small children, when they say, Jesus, we need you again because he gave us bread yesterday. Jesus, a rich man. But in his riches, he became poor that we might be rich. And when Brother Paul began to also preach Jesus, we saw that life in him. He was testifying of themselves in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He said, we appear to be poor, but we are making many rich. We made many rich. They were following Jesus. I'm praying that discipleship will become the issue. So I hope I'm able to get across to you a bit today that discipleship is not just that you go for a discipleship class. It's not one ministry. It is the complete commission of a working upon our lives until Christ be formed in you. Is that all right? Any church fellowship that is doing that, what are they doing? They're doing discipleship. Any pastor whose main aim, and we're going to discuss that eventually, is to make men to be like Jesus. And he teaches Jesus. Not only that he teaches people to observe, to do. And we are beginning to see that in their lives. That brother is doing well. And if you are anywhere and you are saying, oh brother, I don't know where to go. When you see where they are producing Jesus in people's life, do what? Go there. No problem. You may just simply write a note and say, bro, I thank God. I am there. Be there. Wherever they are reproducing people to be like Jesus, go there. But where they are asking you to curse your enemy, did we learn that from Jesus? What did Jesus say? Love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. He said you should pray for them. Give them food when they are hungry. Huh? And give them water when they are thirsty. This was what Jesus taught us. And he showed us how to do it. They were crucifying him on the cross. Eh? Do you think it was a joke? They turned him naked. They abused him. They did everything. And when he was ready to pray, what did he do? Father, forgive them, for they don't know
The people say, we know what we are doing. We know what we are doing. Let His blood be upon us. He said, Lord, Lord, please. They don't know what they are doing. Forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. He showed us how to pray. Where did you learn what you are doing? Some will go and bring one Bible verse. Is it one Bible verse we are called to? Whom are we called? Do you know that all Bible verses, they have only one purpose? What is that purpose? To point at Jesus. Are you with me, brothers? What has anybody done? Has anybody? What is Kelebesi Elenuri? I'm asking you. Tell me the truth. Has anybody in their annoyance? Has it ever happened? Please tell us if it has happened to you so that we will know. It has not. At best, somebody did like this to you. And what does that do to you? It didn't touch you. It didn't. And it is him that his hand is paining. And there's no problem about that. And then you took this case. Say, God, for him to know that I'm an anointed man. Let him have accident there. You see, how did you learn that? Where did you learn that? The kind of men we want to produce, there's one subject that will produce them. What is that subject? Jesus. Look. So look at verse 42. Chapter 2, 42 and 21 said, those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Did you think that when we talk of discipleship, that we're not going to pull crowd? Huh? We will pull crowd, but we're not looking for crowd. Look at it here. 3,000 were added. But the truth of this is that these 3,000, what the Bible said, they continued. Where? Please read. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Now, let me now read on. Because they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine. Excuse me, what is apostles' doctrine? Jesus, whatever he has taught them and commanded them, that was their doctrine. So you will see result now. Then fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. I kept wondering, why did they say fear came upon every soul? They saw radical transformation in the lives of these 3,000 people. Radical. They started seeing people now who are following a different philosophy of life, a different principle of living, radically. The community just knew that, hey, something has happened now. Arrogant people suddenly became humble. Those who bragged in their dressing and all of this, they became simple. Those who spoke about their great positions, when they heard of how Jesus laid down his life and became a servant. I remember enduring this teaching, Peter stood up and said, he taught us that whosoever shall be great among us, let him be the servant of us all. You remember the last thing he did to us before we left? How on the day we were to eat bread, who washed our feet, brethren? Those of you that are with us on that time, who washed our feet? Do you remember? So John lifted up his hand and said, actually, we remember how Peter was saying he will not wash his feet. And how Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. And so Peter said that day, wash my head, wash my hand, wash everywhere. He showed us that any of us, no matter how big you are, You are the one to wash. So in their fellowship, Peter, John, James, the 12, they are the ones always washing. How could you be a disciple in that kind of arrangement and be proud? I'm asking. If it is time now for us to sweep, if some of our pastors here who came to preach, if you met them 7 a.m. sweeping, even if you have PhD, will you be able to keep to your PhD? That was what radically transformed them. It was a discipleship that changed their lives. Look at the results. Now, all who believed were together, and they had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. How did they came in? How did they come about that? I didn't hear you. I'm not hearing you. It's because they were learning. They came to the issue that Jesus said, if any one of you wishes to be a disciple, a follower of mine, and he does not forsake all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Somebody among them said, excuse me, what does that mean? And then Peter said, there was an incident when he was among us. He said, what was that? He said, there was a rich young ruler that came. How many of you remember the rich young ruler that came? They said, yes. Oh, when we just left Jericho, huh? Yes. You remember how the master dealt with him? He said, go and sell all you have and distribute to the poor. Then come. The brethren didn't take that gently. What did they do? They observed it. They acted. So they left the fellowship that evening. And people started selling what they had. And they were bringing the money. And they were saying, sir, we have sold it, as you said. And we want to distribute it to the brethren who have need. If the apostles will announce that if anybody has a need of a baby cot, how many of you are pregnant and your baby has just been born, there's no baby cot? Since I have finished delivering my baby, come and pick a baby cot in our house. You know that when fellowship reaches that level, something changes. That was how it happened. They were learning nothing but what Jesus taught. And as a result, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness. And what? What made them simple now? With simplicity of heart. You know, these are the character of Jesus I saw. Very simple. He ate with his disciples. Simplicity of heart. One of the quiet prayers I keep praying for myself, Lord, no matter how you enlarge our labors for you, keep me simple. I don't want to be complicated. It is complication to be wearing long robe on my neck and putting a cap, and then somebody is carrying something in front of me, and then they say the bishop is coming. You know, it's complication. That's complication. It's a very complicated. It's too heavy. Eh? No. I want to be simple. I want to be accessible. I want to be a free brother. I want to be able to eat. I should be able to buy barley on the road and just eat. Just like that. You see, that's my prayer. I don't want to be complicated. It's mere complication. Let me tell you, it's complication for you alone. Then they fry a whole turkey and bring it to you, and they will fry it dry, and then you sit down, and then you cough. and then three sisters are waiting on you. What do you need, sir? Do you need juice? Do you need water? Do you need this? You are complicated. You are becoming complicated. Do you think you are enjoying life? I'm telling you the truth. You are dying. You can't move anywhere. You want to go to the toilet. Three sisters are saying, he wants to go to the toilet. He wants to go to the toilet. You are getting complicated. You are getting complicated. That's not life. You are now in bondage. You can't go anywhere. You can't feel free. You can't. And you are thinking that that's anointing. You are complicated. The man from whom we have all received grace upon grace, it was simple. It was simple. It was simple enough that even women brought their babies for him just to touch them. His disciples said, no, carry them away, don't disturb Jesus. He said, how can you do that? Do you know of such is the kingdom of God? Bring them to me. And he carried babies. There were no napkins in those days. Oluwa mi o gbe awon omo o gbe won saya re o si gbo wole won o si sure fun won. He didn't take him time. He did that and he went. The woman with the issue of blood could touch him and he would stay and he can't for what can I want to see her. Simple. Some of you are too complicated. There might be in law. I don't know where you are going. My prayer, Lord, with simplicity of heart. But you know, simplicity is not first the simplicity of dressing. It's the simplicity of heart. It is when your heart becomes complicated that your dressing becomes complicated, that your outlook becomes complicated, that your entourage becomes complicated, because your heart is no more simple. Simplicity of heart. How did they arrive at that? By teaching. Praising God and having favor with all the people. I discovered that that is like Jesus, isn't it? That he grew in favor with God and with men. You can't be a correct disciple of Jesus and you be a menace in the community. Any teaching that makes you a nuisance in your society, in your family, is not correct. When Jesus is formed in you, you will become a lovable man. In fact, people in the society, they will like you. They will like you. They may not believe, they may not repent, but they will not have any problem with this. That sister. Sister. Even though you are not, they say sister. Because she's always smiling, she's loving. She never passes anybody without pronouncing shalom on them, the peace of the Lord. She helped those that are in need. That was what they learned. Discipleship made them so. But in our time now, these believers, if they are living on the second floor and somebody is on the lower floor, every early morning, you give those people under you headache, because you have been trained not to recognize people. You have been told that demons is all of them. So when you wake up in the morning, people cannot sleep under you. So if you go under, you see all those tenants, they are cursing you in their heart every day. It's a car. All these Christians, they are difficult to live with. I want you to allow the way. When we are difficult to live with, you see, because we've never been taught Jesus. You were taught other things, not Jesus. You couldn't be a disciple and be the way you are. I tell you the truth. You can't be a disciple and not be likable in the community. You will be one of the best in the school. You'll be one of the best in the society. You'll be one of the best of your father's children. When you are properly discipled, they may persecute you in the beginning, but when Jesus is formed in you, you will be their treasure. Because after they finish abusing you, you have learned to say, pray for them. And you say, Dad, it must be new. I don't know, but this is this. We abuse you, but you are still going about the family things with joy. But now the teaching is different. The emphasis is no more Jesus. The practical Jesus that will have affected community is no more what we teach. So the community doesn't even know that we exist. The light and the salt of the earth is no more there. May God help us. And do you see the result? When they taught Jesus and the Lord added to the church daily, they don't need crusades. It's because we left discipleship that we are spending so much money. You put millions of naira to make one crusade. And where is the result? Where are those people? It's all jamboree for the video. The way of Jesus is simpler. And the Lord added to the church. How many days? Daily, not even weekly. Those who were being saved. They were being saved because they were being attracted by this radical transformation that they were seeing in people's lives. Do you know, I'm believing God that we will see this again in our lifetime? I'll stop there. I just thought we should make this short input into the issue we have been raising. These fragments, what does God want them to be? To be like Jesus in discipleship. So we are seeing a general corporate discipleship that was taking place in the New Testament. So Barnabas, it was from that environment that he became an apostle. Hallelujah. It was from that environment that people like Silas came out to become what they became. They were not given a different thing. No different thing. No different special training. It is this life of Jesus they were learning that was producing all the different issues that we saw with them. May God grant us help in the name of Jesus. Stand up as we pray. These brothers and sisters to you, you've brought great hope to my heart that we should go on doing what we're doing. That was how you raised disciples in the midst of multitude that were opposite. Many rushed in, but when you didn't change your message, they left. Lord, these brothers are saying they want to go. That to whom else would they go apart from you who has the words of eternal life? Lord, I pray that this commitment we are making, let it bring a radical transformation to our lives. A radical transformation to our places of work. A radical transformation to our families. A radical transformation, even in the churches where we represent in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I just pray that the desire of your heart for Jesus to be the first among many brethren, that you will not be ashamed to call us your brethren, because we are conformed to your style, to your way, to your thinking, to your appetite, to your focus, to your attitude to people, to your loving kindness, to the way you are compassionate to people. Lord, I ask that everything that will bring this to become a reality, either we meet in groups, or we meet in fellowships, or we meet in different places, please, Lord, let this decision of ours go beyond this place in the name of Jesus. Lord, whether we form discipleship classes, which is just but a way, it is not something on its own, it's just a means of addressing this big issue in our time. We are praying and pleading, oh God, that whether in the universities, in the secondary schools, in the villages, in the women fellowships, in the men fellowships, wheresoever men gather, that this subject will be the same. Jesus. Lord, break down these denominational barriers that came upon us because the subject matter changed. Because now we have to emphasize the preacher and his mannerism apart from Jesus. Lord, today we pray, we plead together for your mercy. Will you please arise and help us? Arise and show us your mercy. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. And as these men go, help them to remember this commitment. When they have a choice to make, help them to choose Jesus. Thank you. As we come back, Lord, later, to still make more input into the Bible study, please, Lord, help us. Amen. That your desire for the church might come to pass. Amen. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Thank you.